All right, this is class 11 of On Studying the Bible. Here's our text. And in this class, we will be covering authors. There's a great deal that we need to consider in regard to authors. What I mean by authors, others who have written in regard to the Scripture. You know what I mean. Okay, I'll just go ahead and start reading, and I'll be making some comments. Now, about keeping a list of authors, I guess these would be considered like your favorite list or something, I don't know, or from authors that you read the most, you would eventually create your own library, right? It is good to read from authors that declare the truth as it is in Jesus. Authors that declare the reality that now is. And there's a great deal of authors out there in the Christian world, in the Christian religious world, a great deal of authors. They are declaring everything. You know, they're declaring how you can live a better life, how you can be a better person, how you can be a better Christian, how you can someday make it to heaven, how you can be delivered from this, be delivered from that, how this and that, and we want to read authors that declare the reality that now is. There is a reality that is more real than this tangible world that we can see, touch, smell, and taste, okay? Authors that declare the reality that now is versus authors that declare that one day or someday or something other than Christ crucified. It doesn't matter what, as I stated earlier. There's authors, many authors out there that declare anything. All right. Now back to those authors that declare the reality that now is. These are the ones who declare to Zion, your God reigns right now, regardless of the situation you're in, regardless of the uprising of your soul, regardless of the condition of your soul that you're currently in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your God reigns right now. Right now. Your Christ is risen right now. These are the ones who declare the whole earth is full of His glory. Even as Isaiah saw it from afar, you know, and he declared, that's out of Isaiah 6:3, the whole earth is full of His glory. Now, well, I'll just throw this out there. Is it the whole earth that we see with our natural eyes? No. And I'll just leave it with that. Okay. But the whole earth is currently, yes, full of His glory. These authors, and here's the key. Our previous class was the Holy Spirit, concerning the Holy Spirit. These authors join with the Holy Spirit, that Christ may have the preeminence in all things. Remember in our previous class how we talked about the Holy Spirit has one goal, one end goal, right? And these are authors who have come into that flow, come into His purpose, come into His goal, and have remained and are declaring basically what the Holy Spirit declares. Right? These are authors that declare Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The ones who are not waiting for some day when things will get better, but are seeing and knowing that the best is come now in Christ. Okay. Do we search for events, times, peoples, places, things? Or do we search for Christ? Will the Holy Spirit reveal and show times, peoples, places, and things? Or will the Holy Spirit reveal, will he show Christ? Okay? The Holy Spirit declares and shows Christ. If there is one who is laboring with the Lord, has joined with the Holy Spirit, guess what? They will probably most likely, most certainly be declaring Christ. Things are no longer the issue. Places are no longer the issues. Events are no longer the issue. Peoples are no longer the issue. Christ is the issue in all things. Okay? But our seeing and knowing that the best is now, is come now in Christ. Not that we have to wait. No. Now in Christ. Now in Christ. It's a matter of turning our hearts. It's a matter of having a heart condition that desires to see Christ now. All right. These are authors that are seeing and knowing what Christ has wrought in the cross. And they are declaring that same good news, the gospel, that we may all grow up into him. Authors in whom Christ is revealed. I want you to underline that statement, circle it, do something with that statement. Authors in whom Christ is revealed. Okay? I've got a comment here. You cannot preach Christ except he be revealed. All right? If Christ is not revealed in one, then they may be an author and they will preach, they will teach, they will evangelize, they will do all these things. And it will be about Jesus. But it will not be the declaring of Christ. I think Paul set it forth in Galatians. He said, but when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him. Okay, that's it. That is the bedrock for preaching Christ. That's the foundation for preaching Christ. Christ must be revealed for Christ to be preached. If he is not revealed, then he's not preached. Things, peoples, places, events, everything will be preached but Christ himself. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus of Nazareth, he was knowing the Father in me and I in the Father. Okay? The same way. He declared the Father. Oh, yes he did. Yes he did. Though he did many miracles, signs and wonders, healings and things like that, in everything he declared the Father. He declared the Father. Okay? The same way, if Christ is revealed in a person, they will declare Christ. There's nothing else to declare. They have come from the child understanding of things to the understanding of the Son, to the understanding of Christ himself. Okay, but I believe that's for another class. All right. So once again, these are authors in whom Christ is revealed. And we may not be able to discern yet if a particular author is declaring Christ or not. You know, I read when I first came to the Lord, there was a time when I didn't want to read anything from anybody else. I just wanted to read the scriptures because I had no clue what they said, right? My previous existence before I was born again was I'd show up to a Sunday service on Easter and on somewhere around Christmas, or maybe, but mainly Easter. You always had to go on Easter, okay? So I had no clue what the scriptures said at all. And I wanted to at least see what the scriptures were saying. So there was a time that I just didn't read anything from anyone. And just so I could kind of get a somewhat of a grasp of the scriptures themselves. And then I began reading material from others. And oh yes, I grabbed from here and grabbed from there. And I even allowed the Lord to kind of direct my choosing of books, if you will. And there were a lot of books that I read, and now I would probably say, why in the world did I spend that amount of money on that book anyway? Do you know what I mean? Or why did I read this? But in all things, the Lord is faithful. In all things, the Holy Spirit is faithful. And He will continually be faithful to Christ. Okay? If we're off reading some material that's not declaring Christ and we're getting excited in it, hey, He's still there, remember? To draw our attention, to draw our hearts unto Christ. All right? So, not to throw anyone in an uproar or not to make anyone panic for reading other people's materials. No. No, I read several authors even right now. And I'm in agreement with what they say because I know they're declaring Christ. And I rejoice in the declaring of Christ. I rejoice in the seeing of Christ, in the knowing of Christ. So the Holy Spirit, He will direct and guide. That's what He does. Remember, He directs and He guides. So going on, let's just go on a little bit. Our next paragraph. This may end up being a short class. I'm not sure. Jesse Penn Lewis. All right, during the time I wrote this, there were authors that were fresh on my heart that I was reading. All right, and what I do want to mention also is that as you progress on in your walk with the Lord, there will be different authors that you read at different times, and your list of authors may change. I say that, it may or may not. I say that because mine has changed a bit. I used to, like I said, I used to read certain authors when I first came to the Lord, and I don't read those authors anymore. And now I read different authors. Okay? And, you know, like I said, the Holy Spirit directs, He guides. Why? For what purpose? For what goal? That our hearts would turn to see Christ. That our hearts would turn to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For no other purpose. So we can trust Him that He's faithful to do that. Right? Now, like as I said, when I wrote this, there were particular authors that were on my heart that I was reading during this time. They might not be in the same order that I'd read right now, but they're just there. There's the same group of authors. Now I'll just go ahead and read. All right. Jesse Penn Lewis is among the authors I read along with Watchman Nee, T. Austin Sparks, J.W. Luman, and I also, now during that time, that's what I wrote there. All right. The Andrew Murray, I left out Andrew Murray, but I read him as well. I've read from his material as well. Now these would be considered by most and by many in the Christian religious world deeper life teaching. You know, there may be in your local Christian bookstore a section for deeper life. Well, it's just Christ. There's no such thing as deeper life. It's either Christ or it's not Christ, right? It's either life or it's death. And what some of you that are listening to this class, watching this class, may instantly be thinking, well, what are you saying? Everything else is not declaring Christ? Well, I don't know. Be honest with the Lord, be honest with the Holy Spirit, and find out if it is or if it isn't. Find out if what your current list of authors is declaring, right? Is it declaring Christ crucified, where the cross is central and Christ is the object, right? Or is it declaring people's places, things, times, and events? Or is it declaring you, right? If it's not declaring Christ, it's declaring something else. All right? And as I said, as we progress on, you know, in the Lord, man, things just fall by the wayside, you know? No one's taking anything from you. Hey, it's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. If your heart is for the Lord, then praise God. You know, stir your heart continually to turn and see Christ, to know Christ, to know the living God, to know the salvation you've received. That's what it is about. If you're being encouraged by some author in the Christian world out there, and it's not one of the ones that I've mentioned. Well, praise God. If they're encouraging your heart to turn and see the living God, to turn and know the living God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, then praise God, that's what it's about. That is what it is, what it is about. Okay? All right. Along with those authors, I also read publications and books from Charles Spurgeon. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing. I love getting emails and letters. Why? It's not some great list of authors that I have. No. If you've ever written anything, if you've written a letter, if you've written an email, guess what? You're an author, right? What are you declaring in what you've just written? Right. That's the key. What are you declaring? Okay. I love getting emails and letters as well, or conversations with others, right? An author is just one that declares in print, and maybe not verbally. That's all an author is. They are still preaching. They are still declaring something, but they're using pen, computer, or anything like that. It's in print, you know, versus audibly speaking it. Okay, and I'm not sure if I've covered it in this particular class, but we are all preachers. Now, that doesn't mean we stand up every Sunday behind a pulpit and, you know, declare something. No. We are all preachers. We are all declaring something. We are either declaring Christ or we are declaring something else. We are either declaring life or we are either declaring death. Life or death. Light or darkness, right? If it's not Christ, it's everything else in the smorgasbord, right? Everything you don't want. Death in the pot, okay? I love getting emails. I love reading letters, having conversations with others. Just to throw this out there, Michael Allen, Tony Fenton, there was one brother, Edgar, I don't even know his last name. These are just ones that I've had conversations with or have read emails. And what has amounted from my conversation with them or reading their email is that my heart has been stirred. My heart has been stirred. It's like a match that's been lit in my own heart to turn and see the Lord. That is what I look for. That is what I'm after. An author who is declaring Christ, declaring the Christ that they are seeing and knowing. Okay? Does it have to be something that blows my mind away? Like some profound truth out of the scripture that I just never saw of Jesus? No. It is a living relationship. It is declaring a Christ that is living. Right? And that, the effect that it has upon me, upon my soul, is that my heart gets stirred, as I said, to know the Lord, to desire to see the Lord, to desire to turn in my heart and see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the key. That's what it's about right there. All right. Just checking the audio. So when I mention authors, hey, it could be anyone. All right. And then, like I said, you do have your favorite list of authors. I do. I have my favorite list of authors. But I love reading material from those who are knowing Christ. I love listening to those who are knowing Christ. I love watching those who are knowing Christ. Why? Because it stirs my own heart to see and to know the living Christ. Okay? And as I said before in a previous class, I'm not sure which one, we're all in the same boat. It's all, hey, come on guys, let's turn our hearts. Come on, let's know this living Christ. Let's know this indwelling Christ. Let's cry out to the Lord, to the Father, that He would reveal His Son in us. Right? Let's come on, let us know the greatness of this salvation. Let us know the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what it's about, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable to the natural, carnal, religious mind, but freely revealed unto us by the Spirit. Okay? All right, so let me just go on some more with this paragraph here with the authors. Let's see. There was a time when I began wondering about the statement Paul made. I am crucified with Christ. This is Galatians 2:20. Now, I did not know what he could possibly mean by that statement. And it's true. I came across this passage in Galatians 2:20, and I'm thinking, what in the world is he saying? Is he out of his mind? Right? Because I'd read the Gospels. Three were crucified that day. Two thieves and robbers, and Christ in the middle. Okay, and here's Paul saying, I am crucified with Christ. Okay, going on with what's written here. I did not know what he could possibly mean by that statement. He was not there with Jesus when he was crucified. Or was he? All right. This led me to begin considering the work of the cross. What is the work of the cross? You probably have your concept, your understanding right now of what you believe the work of the cross is. Whether that is according to what God's concept is or not, you have a concept, you have a thought of what you believe the work of the cross is. Well, that's fine. That's fine. If it's not Christ, the person of Christ himself, then once again, the Holy Spirit will deal with our hearts and deal with our hearts till they turn and see that it is all about Christ himself, the person of Christ, and he having the preeminence in all things. Okay? Christ, this led me to begin considering the work of the cross, Christ being in us, and us being in Christ, and us being in Christ. Okay? There's just some terms out there that in the scripture that some use, and you're wondering, wow, that's really far out there. Like some of the statements in the Gospels that Jesus made. I'll use this for an example. I think it's the Gospel of John. They're at the wedding, and Jesus' mother comes to him and says, we're out of wine, right? And what is his response? The Lord's response is, woman, my time has not yet come. Whoa! Where are you? What world are you in? You know, what kind of response is that? What do you say? You're far out there. Like, but what are you saying? Okay. What do I mean by that? Well, mankind has an understanding. It's the mind of man, the mind of mankind. Christ is above man. Christ is above. He has a greater understanding. It's called the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ. Okay? These statements, Christ being in us and us being in Christ, the Lord knows what it means. With our natural mind, we can't conceive of that. It's like, okay, Christ being in us, a person in another person. Wow, that's weird. Or us being in Christ, a person in another person. That's just weird. That's a weird concept, you know. That is far out there, right? That is out of our natural mind. That's out of our minds, right? It's not our natural minds cannot conceive of what's being declared, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly what it means. Exactly. And how and what it pertains to Christ. Right? How it pertains to Christ. Okay. All right. Let me go ahead and go on reading here. Jesse Penn Lewis is one of the first authors that I began reading during this time. Probably why I mentioned her first. The Holy Spirit really uses what she has shared from the Scriptures. The following is a selection from one of her small booklets, which emphasizes the importance of saturating in the Scriptures, saturating in the Word of God, saturating in the Bible. Now, okay, I'll just go ahead and read it. We have seen that one reason why the liberation of the mind is so important is that it is the vehicle of the Spirit. Has it never struck you how extraordinary it is that the children of God can hear so much and yet express so little? If you should ask one and another to intelligently transmit something of what they have heard, they cannot do it. They have listened to volumes of truth for years, and yet have no power to transmit it and help a soul in need. And many of these hearers will tell you that they have received a baptism of the Spirit. The reason for this lies in the unrenewed mind. They may truly have received the Holy Spirit, but speaking reverently, he is locked up in their spirit and cannot get through the blocked channel of the mind. One reason is that many children of God do not soak themselves, so to speak, in God's thoughts. They think that to read a text in the morning is enough, and so they do not get their mind fully renewed. Well, that's a great statement about reading. They think that to read a text in the morning is enough, and so they do not get their mind fully renewed. That's a great statement. But our mind is not renewed in the reading of the Scriptures. Our mind is renewed in the revealing of Christ. Okay? The Scriptures help facilitate that. Right? The Scriptures declare that Christ. But until Christ is revealed, then our minds are probably not renewed. Still people, places, things, events, and about Jesus, but not Christ. Okay? The Scriptures, once again, they declare Christ. We must go to the Scriptures. We must search the Scriptures. As Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify, that declare me. Then the key, then don't forget this part, and you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Well, for us who are born again, we've already come to the Lord, if you will, because we've received eternal life. But now we must come in that our hearts must turn to see the life that we received, in that our hearts must turn to see the reality of the union that we have been brought into now, currently, that we are in with the risen Christ. All right? Let's see. All right, a little bit more on authors. This is concerning others' material. All right? Now, here's some things that can result from reading others' material, from reading books or publications from others, right? Some of the things that can happen, okay? One of the things that can happen is we can end up riding others' coattails. What do I mean by that? You may have a visual picture of what I'm saying, right? One's walking and the other one's just riding along, right? I remember this brother, Brother Leo, when I was in Austin for a particular time, and I was a part of this fellowship there, and he told me, Jimmy, there's those who pull the wagon and those who ride the wagon. And he said, don't ride the wagon. That was funny. Well, why do I bring it in right now? Why do I make that comment right now? Why? Because we personally, individually must come to see Christ. We must come to know the living, risen Christ. And therefore, strive and labor with the Holy Spirit that all would come to see and know the risen, living Christ. Okay? Hey, there's a time when you may need to be carried by others, that I may need to be carried by others, praise God. Let that time be. You know, just go with it. Go with the Lord. Stir your heart as much as you can. And there may come a time when others may need to be carried by you personally, by your knowing of the Lord. That's fine. What's the goal? Oh, I am now some great one that knows the Lord. No. The goal is, hey, come on, guys. We're all in the same boat. You know? We're, another picture illustration here, we're rowing to see Christ. Hey, if you're tired of rowing, praise God, that's okay. Take a break. I'm rowing. We're all going to row. You know, it takes, I can't think of the word. It takes a, I can't think of the word. It takes all of us to encourage us on to knowing the Lord. It takes all of us to know the fullness of Christ, because the fullness is in the body, not in an individual member. Right? The fullness is found in the body. Knowing the fullness is found, knowing, ing, the fullness is found in the body. Okay. plus, anyway, I won't go there. Okay. Riding on others' coattails. All right, this is moving in others, in someone else's seeing of Christ. Let me write that in there. This is moving in someone else's seeing of Christ and not our own seeing of Christ. We've not yet truly apprehended Christ, if that's the case. And what it can do, it can, which that's fine for a time and a season, you know. Praise God, that is there for a time and a season. The foundation may have not been laid, but we're standing on the foundation of Christ that's within someone else, that has been laid in someone else. You know, that's good. That's well and good. We're not to stay there. We're not to stay there. If we do stay there, then it turns into a old covenant relationship with the Lord. It turns into the Lord, Moses, the people. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants Christ and every member. Christ all and in all. And they shall all know me, as we've read in Jeremiah. Okay? That's what the Lord ultimately wants. That we would all know Him, that we would all see His risen Christ, His glorious Christ. Okay, let's see. Going on. Sometimes reading material from others can distract us from what the Holy Spirit desires and is trying to show us of Christ. Wow, there's one for you. Okay, we can get so occupied with someone else's teaching or someone else's theme, etc., that it drowns out the voice of the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? You know, you get so caught up, so enamored with someone's teaching or preaching some theme in publication or something, and yet the Holy Spirit is, you know, you're over here caught up with this, and the Holy Spirit is over here trying to show you Christ in a particular manner, and His voice is drowned out by your involvement in this other, you know. Well, whoa. Usually when that's the case, we're frustrated a lot, or our souls are in upheaval a lot, even though we may be reading from others. And I'm not saying do not read other authors. That is not what I'm saying. As I said, I currently read books and material from other authors, you know. But my heart is to see the Lord. My heart is to know the Lord. And I do want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, okay, at all times. All right. Now, listen to this. Here's the flip side of that coin. Praise God when others only confirm what the Lord is declaring in our hearts. And I know this may have You may have experienced this, you may have not. And if you haven't, you probably will if you go on in your desire to know the Lord. When you're reading a publication or a book or an article of someone else, and there's just something that's bold in your heart, you know, from their reading, yes, you're in total agreement. Well, it's confirmation because the Lord is doing something in your heart, and they're declaring that same thing that the Lord is doing in your heart. And that's when it's confirmation. That's when the word is established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and it's solidified in our heart. It is made solid in our heart. It is made solid in our soul. Okay, praise God when that happens. That's, oh my gosh. I love that. In fact, before I went to Bible school, there was a time that I was beginning to hear from the Lord, and I thought I was going mad. You know, I thought I was going crazy because everything I heard and read at that time from others was not what I was hearing from the Lord. And it was actually during that time that I went to a pastor's conference, and one of the speakers at that conference, and he began declaring Christ. And my heart just rejoiced immensely. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it because it meant so much to me. It was such a great turning point that the Lord had brought me through, that the Lord was bringing me into, you know, in my heart turning to Christ. And in my mind, it's like there's somebody else who's hearing the same thing. I'm not going crazy. And I don't know if you've experienced that or not. If you do, praise God. If you don't, praise God. It doesn't matter. All I'm saying, it is an awesome thing when you can hear from the Lord and when others can only confirm what you are hearing. You know, and they're not trying to tell you. They're just declaring the Lord that they themselves are seeing and knowing. It's an awesome thing because your heart rejoices in Christ. Not in them, your heart rejoices in Christ. Your heart glorifies, your soul glorifies the Lord in that. And God receives all the glory in that. That's an awesome thing. Okay, that is an awesome thing. So with that, I'll just read this. I read a book by Sparks, and he said, I probably won't quote it exactly, but he said something along these lines. When we go to listen to someone preach or teach or an evangelistic meeting or conference or something, when we go to hear others or read about others, what do we go away with? Do we go away with, that is a great preacher, that is a great teacher, that is a great evangelist? Or do we go away with this thought, we have a great Christ, right? If the speaker, if the author, the one who wrote the book, is joined with the Holy Spirit, then we will go away with the thought, we have a great Christ. With the attitude, with the heart of, we have a great Christ. Because they will have declared Christ, the Christ that they are seeing and the Christ that they are knowing. Okay? So here's my question out there, and don't get condemned by this. Have we become deaf to the voice of the Lord? Lord, open our ears to hear your voice. If you're about to go into a panic mode, hey, don't go into a panic mode about that question. Just plainly, hey, pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your voice. That's it. Holy Spirit, if I've drowned out your voice because of the voice of others, then open my ears to hear your voice. And here's another thing, is that the Lord may be speaking to your heart in what others have written. Remember? That's the flip side of the coin. He may be speaking to your heart through what others have written or through what others are declaring. Okay? So we're always to listen for the Lord, not for man, but for the Lord. We desire to see Jesus, to know Jesus out of it, right? Not anything else, not anyone else. You know? And then if someone is speaking or we've read somewhere in some book and our heart is stirred and it desires to turn to see Christ, then who actually has spoken to our hearts? Has it been a man or a woman? Or has it been the Holy Spirit? It's been the Holy Spirit. If our hearts are turned in any matter, any manner, or have a desire to turn in any way to see Christ, then that is the Holy Spirit speaking through a vessel. Remember, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. If you are in union with the Holy Spirit, what I mean by in union, yes, well, you are joined to the Holy Spirit. But if you are in agreement with Him, with what He is doing, how did I say that? If you've joined with Him in what He is doing, declaring Christ, that our hearts would turn to see that risen Christ, right? Then what is being declared, what is being spoken, is spirit and it's life. Okay? And that has an effect in us. That's not something of the outward. That's something, the word that goes forth and cuts through our crud. And if you've not experienced this, praise God. If you have, praise God. But it cuts through our crud of what we think we are, of who we hold ourselves to be, of how we guard ourselves from others, of how we keep ourselves. It cuts through all that crud and hits us right in the heart and melts us and turns our hearts, causes our hearts to turn to see Christ. That's awesome. That's awesome. And what do we go away with? What an awesome Christ. What a great Christ we have. Right? That's it. That's it. And God is glorified and Christ is glorified. Praise the Lord. All right. Because we are talking about authors, I guess I could have used this in the previous class. Let's talk about the supreme author. And instantly, you already know, this is the Holy Spirit, the supreme author. Because if Christ is being declared in publications, in books, or in audio media or video media, then the author is actually the Holy Spirit and not man. Not man. Even in the scriptures of our Bible that we have, that we study out of, though man wrote it, the Spirit was the author. The Holy Spirit was the author. Though man wrote it. Though man penned it. It was through the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, I do want to talk about the supreme author, the Holy Spirit. Just a little bit more, and like I said, this probably could have fit into our previous class, but it's still along the line of authors here. Now, here's one thing. If you find yourself at the same passage again and again, whether it be something that you read or by chance you read or someone else is speaking about, or you're searching for something, a particular, like on a word study or something, and you end up at the same passage again and again, chances are the Holy Spirit wants to draw your attention to that passage to show Christ, to show how it relates to Christ, right? We should be quick to respond to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we are so sluggish. The flesh is so weak to respond. I mean, it's a miracle of God. You know, sometimes at night before you go to sleep, or sometimes during the night, or sometimes when you just wake up in the morning, or when you're just going about the day, the Lord will speak to your heart, put something on your heart. And if you're like me, you need to write it down because you will forget it. There's times I've been in the shower and the Lord puts something on my heart and I don't rehearse it in my mind. I don't, you know, go over it and over it. When I finish my shower, I've forgotten what He said. And there it is. There's my heart. Oh my gosh, Lord. I'm so flaky. You know, like Peter. I can't even stay up with the rest. You know, I've fallen asleep. You know, I can't even watch, you know, for 1 hour. I've forgotten what it's all about. So I do pray, Lord, please show me what You were speaking. Please speak to me what You were speaking, because it's my flakiness. And you know what? He's faithful. He does that. He brings it to our remembrance, what he was speaking, what he was declaring of Christ. Why? Is he going to get upset? Oh, no, you flake. No, that's his goal isn't so we can be responsive immediately. No, his goal is that our hearts would turn to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hey, so at any moment that our hearts are turning, he's rejoicing in that, you know? But we do need to be quick to respond to the Holy Spirit when he does put something on our heart. Not put it off, but actually look at it and chew on it, okay? He shows what we need to know of Christ in regard to life, okay? Now, I'll just leave that statement there. Now, I don't know if this next statement, this has happened to you personally. With me, it happens, and I don't know if it's the norm. I don't know if it's just a thing with me or if it's the norm in Christendom all around. All right? But I put this statement down. He makes us aware of what we just went through, or of what we are going through, or of what we are about to go through in regard to Christ. Now, as I said, I don't know if this is the norm or if this is just how he works with me. Sometimes when I'm going through something, you know, we walk through seasons. Hey, we are in Christ. We walk through seasons. We don't live in the seasons. We live in Christ. All right? But it's good sometimes to know what's going on. You know? If the Lord is desiring to deal with our hearts in a particular manner, that they would turn to see Christ, it would be a good thing so that we would know what kind of a dealing is happening in our hearts, right? So we can be in agreement with him and not buck him, right? If he's trying to do one thing and we think something else is going on, then we would be contrary, probably. We would have some other goal while he has this particular goal, okay? And this has just kind of happened to me sometimes. He shows me sometimes through the scripture what I just went through as it relates to Christ, or what I'm actually going through as it relates to Christ, or what I'm about to go through as it relates to Christ. And what I mean by that, it is to encourage my heart in the Lord. It is to encourage my heart in the faithfulness of God, in the faithfulness of Christ. It is to encourage my heart to continue on with a desire of the heart turning to see the Lord. That's why he does these things. Okay? It is all so that our hearts can turn and see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, here's another thing. The Holy Spirit may or may not teach you out of the same scriptures you are reading. I know we covered in a previous class about reading through chapters of books, reading the whole book. All right? The Holy Spirit may or may not be teaching you out of those pages that you're actually reading. You can be reading through one book of the Bible, and he may not be speaking anything out of it. And yet all of a sudden your heart is stirred to some other portion of Scripture, right? And then he begins speaking out of some other portion of Scripture. And you're like, well, I just wasted all this time reading this one chapter and I didn't get anything. No, that's not the case. Your heart had to go and read through that chapter to a particular point to bring it to a particular posture where you could hear the Holy Spirit. Right? Jesus said, there are many things I must say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Holy Spirit declares Christ. God speaks in Son, and so many times we are not able to bear what he is saying, to bear what he is speaking. So, we continue until our hearts are able to bear, right? Until our hearts are able to bear the appearing of Christ, the revealing of Christ. Okay, the knowing of the Lord. Let's see. May or may not teach you out of the same scriptures you're reading. There can be a time, let's say there's a time, when you're reading a particular scriptures, passage of the scriptures. And let's say, I'll just throw this out there. Let's say you're reading some book in the Old Testament and a book in the New Testament, and you're also involved in a study, which may or may not have anything to do with either book that you're reading in the Old or New Testament. Okay? And then along on top of that, You read a book from somebody else, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit really lightens upon something that you're reading from someone else and begins feeding you the key, feeding you, and your heart, you know, your heart gets encouraged and stirred on to know the Lord. That's kind of what I mean there. Or other times, maybe you're reading in a particular scripture in the Old Testament passage, and the Holy Spirit begins speaking to you in that exact same passage that you're reading, right? This may or may not happen. You know, the thing is that we would have a desire to see and know Christ. If our heart has that desire, then our ears are probably a little more attuned to the Holy Spirit than not. Okay? And he does declare Christ. The supreme author declares Christ. And he always declares Christ. And he may not declare Christ in the exact same portion of scriptures that we are reading, but that's okay. And that's why I said, when he speaks, we should be quick to respond to the Holy Spirit. All right? There was a passage of scripture that that I thought of, and it had nothing to do with the current books of the Bible that I'm reading, or even of a particular book that I'm reading at the time. You know, I'm reading a couple books in the Bible, and I'm reading a book by someone else that they've written. And here's the Holy Spirit speaking to me in regard to Christ in some other portion of Scripture that I haven't even been looking at. That's where I need to be quick to respond and jot that down and look at that passage where he's speaking, right? Because that's where he's feeding. That's what we need to do. We shouldn't, he doesn't want us going around malnutritioned, right? Starvation. No. Jesus said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Hey, feast upon the Lamb. Feast upon the Lamb. Okay? So I just wanted to mention that in regard to the Holy Spirit, because he is the supreme author, and also just mention of in regard to other authors that do declare Christ. And our hearts should just be sensitive to the Lord. They should just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to be able to turn at a dime, you know, to be able to turn instantly when he begins speaking something in particular, to be able to respond to what he is saying, you know, because all he desires to do is to show Christ. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will take that which is of mine and shall show it, shall declare it unto you. That is his desire. That is the love. I was going to say the love of his life. That's his love. That's his rejoicing to show Christ. All right? So we've went ahead and covered that. This has been class 11, dealing and concerning authors. And as I said, hey, read others' material. Fine, that's fine. Read the scriptures. I always looked at it this way. I want to get my hands on anything that will encourage my heart on to knowing the Lord, that will encourage me personally on to knowing the Lord, that will stir my heart to cause it to turn to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to be around others that stir my heart on to knowing the Lord. I want to be around those who will encourage me on to knowing the Lord, right? That's, you just kind of, and what I mean by being around others, encouraged by others, hey, that can be with others physically, or that can be with others through publications, audio ministry, video ministry, anything. That's what I mean. Hey, they can be physically dead, but they're alive because Christ is their life. And if they are declaring life, then the words that they are declaring are spirit and they are life. Right? So, and praise God, as we are established in the Lord, you know, in the revealing of Christ, then we will also be those who encourage others in knowing the Lord. And as I said earlier in the class, it's not about who's pulling the wagon, who's riding the wagon. No, it's not like that. The thing is, do we have a desire to know the Lord? Is our heart turning to see Christ? And if it is, then we are knowing the Lord. And guess what? You just declare what you're knowing naturally with others. Right? If they rejoice in that, if they're encouraged in that, praise God. If they're appalled by that, if they reject that, then praise God. You know, that's up to them and the Holy Spirit. Where's your heart? Where's my heart? So, before I go on any further with that, we'll just go ahead and close the book right there. And once again, I just hope this class has been a blessing to stir your heart, to encourage your heart on to knowing the Lord. And if you ever decide to, decide to share the Lord with me through email, my email is crosseyedned@yahoo.com. crosseyedned@yahoo.com. Hey, I love being stirred up in Christ. I love being encouraged in the Lord. I love, through different ones at different times, I've been encouraged. Okay, through many. And I know that I just mentioned some, and if I didn't mention your name, then I'm sorry. But any form of encouragement in the Lord, I love that. So that's the end of this class. We have one class to go. The Lord bless and encourage you on and stir your hearts, because He is faithful. And be at rest, be at peace, because He is faithful to do this. Right, be encouraged in His faithfulness to reveal Christ, to cause our hearts to turn to see Christ. Amen.